is February 28th. We call the SR2 committee to order.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cruz.
I'd just like to say that I'm really depressed. The earth moved today and somehow I missed it.
I missed the last time, Jeff.
Did they have a premiere?
I asked for a replay and give me one.
Representative Cruz. Could I ask if you could take your depression to the Health and Human Services Committee?
I'll do that tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. I think maybe they can help you out. We'd like to open a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 2778 at this time. And we'd call Christine McNitt.
Yeah. 2788.
Pardon me, 2788, which I haven't stated. Excuse me, Mr. Chair. That's probably worse than moving the microphone. For the record, my name is Christina McNitt. I'm representing this afternoon the Oregon Water Resources Congress, and with me today is Bill Ganong, the legal counsel for the Klamath Irrigation District in Klamath Falls, Oregon. House Bill 2788 is sponsored by Representative Dan Lee and was drafted at the request of OWRC, amending ORS Chapter 545 relating to irrigation district property. At issue is the ability of irrigation districts to make improvements in efficiency and conservation by ensuring that ditches and pipelines are considered in the same way as canals for the purpose of irrigation district operations. When district language was first incorporated in Oregon statute, pipelines and similar improvement tools were not utilized. House Bill 2788 addresses the need of irrigation districts to ensure that where canals or ditches have been modernized and replaced by pipelines, that current statutory authorities relating to the operation and maintenance of existing canals carries over to these new pipelines. I have delineated what House Bill 2788 does and what House Bill 2788 does not do in my testimony. House Bill 2788 ensures that ditches and pipelines are considered in the same way as canals for the purpose of irrigation district operations. It adds a limitation that district representatives may enter upon land only in accordance with district bylaws, rules and regulations, and conservation plans. The Dash 1 amendments, which I believe the committee administrator has distributed, provides an explicit definition of the term maintenance to include but not be limited to structural repair, headgate repair, cleaning, tree removal, fencing, lining, piping, weed control, pest and rodent control, operations and actions required by regulatory authorities, and other generally accepted practices for the operation of irrigation and drainage systems. On page 2 of my testimony, you'll see what House Bill 2788 does not do. House Bill 2788 does not expand the current authority of irrigation districts to enter on land for inspection and management of waterworks. House Bill 2788 does not expand current authority of irrigation districts to acquire lands and water rights. And further, House Bill 2788 does not expand the current authority of irrigation districts in condemnation proceedings. House Bill 2788 is important to irrigation districts for several reasons. Districts are increasingly investing in expensive piping improvements, which can conserve water lost through seepage and evaporation. In some cases, this is to capture more water for beneficial use. In others, it's for in-stream purposes. And finally, even for some safety concerns. Pipelines can also eliminate high water table programs that affect the foundation of nearby residences. However, in order to receive the grants available through the federal government, the Bureau of Reclamation, a district must certify that it has the legal authority to construct this pipeline. Current law does not specifically grant to either irrigation or drainage districts the authority to construct pipelines. In addition to piping for irrigation districts or for irrigation purposes, some districts are involved in the installation of fish screens on major diversions. Both the Klamath Irrigation District and the Saniam Water Control District are involved in projects this next year that call for a design requiring a long fish bypass pipeline to carry the fish trapped at the screen back into the river. In both Klamath and Saniam cases, federal funds will be used, requiring a certification that the districts have the authority to construct these facilities. Without specific statutory authority as provided by House Bill 2788, it's necessary to file a petition in circuit court to obtain a decree of the court confirming district authority. This is an expensive and time-consuming process that could be saved if Oregon statutes recognize the use of pipelines. In summary, the statutes have not kept up with current technology. Pipelines are a necessary facility in modern irrigation, drainage, and water service districts. We must have available to us the tools necessary to initiate water conservation projects, to respond to state laws which require fish screens and bypasses, and to address problem health and safety management issues. Thank you again for the opportunity to talk with you about this bill, and I would welcome and encourage your questions to Mr. Ganong.
Members of the committee, any questions? Representative Lee?
No questions.
No questions.
The chair is concerned or wonders about in the original language of the statute. It talks about, and the whole of irrigation systems, line 13, page 2 is the specific. And the whole of irrigation systems, does that not include pipelines and...
Mr. Chair, I'm Bill Ganong. I am representing the Klamath Irrigation District. I also represent the Oregon Water Resources Congress as their general counsel. We believe it does, but when you are trying to deal with the Federal Solicitor's Office at the Bureau of Reclamation or with the grant offices in the Bureau of Reclamation or the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, they like to see words. They like to they like those terms defined, and there is no definition of the whole of an irrigation system. The types of improvements that we're making now are lining of canals, pipelines, those types of systems that we're under great pressure to implement due to what need to conserve water, to keep water in stream, those types, and to minimize our liability from people falling into our canals, from people using them as garbage disposal areas, those kinds of things. But to answer your question directly, yes, it's my opinion that terminology includes pipelines. But I'm finding myself making the argument or having to argue that to the people we deal with in getting ESA-approved projects done.
Follow that up a little bit. Do we have any court precedent that has taken place? This is... untried, untested water that we're dealing with here? I mean, that's unintended.
That is correct. To my knowledge, there are no appellate opinions that define that term. I can tell you that we have petitioned the circuit court for authority to undertake projects and have said to the circuit court judge, here is our authority. This is what it says. This is what we're going to do, and ask for confirmation of that action. Generally, nobody appears in those proceedings. I've never had one contested. And the court signs off and says, yes, you are authorized to do that. But there has, to my knowledge, been no appellate opinion or what would be considered precedent for all.
Okay. Any other interesting questions? We have a letter that was delivered to the chair, and I assume that facts, maybe Mr. Harper is going to speak to that. Is that correct? And I'd like to have you hang on so that we can get to that issue after Brad has a chance to present the case, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I'm going to call Brad Harper with Water for Life.
Thank you.
afternoon. How are you?
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Brad Harper. I'm the Executive Director of Water for Life. I come before you today not to address the merits of House Bill 2788, rather to raise an issue that was brought to our organization by one of our members, family farmers in Central Oregon, the Cyruses. And the letter you're receiving is from Cyrus. And they are currently in litigation with the Squaw Creek Irrigation District over the very issue that would be addressed in Section 3, Sub 1, regarding the condemnation power of districts over ditches and canals. And we would simply ask that the committee consider deferring action on this bill until that litigation is resolved. We expect that resolution could come at any time since the case has been heard and the judge is currently considering the merits, and we are simply waiting for him to issue his opinion.
Questions of Mr. Harper?
Mr. Chair, this is the first I've seen this. I'd like to go through it in a couple of minutes. Do you have time to do that?
Sure. Would you like to walk us through the letter, or do you have?
I'd be happy to. Mr. Chair, the letter, and I'm going to try and just paraphrase from memory here, and hopefully I'll get all the details correct. The Cyruses settled that area in the late 1800s, 1887, and actually developed this ditch. I believe the ditch is quite long. It both runs on and off of their property, and they own title to the ditch prior to the district having been formed. There was an agreement at some point where the district agreed to contract with the Cyruses to use their ditch as a delivery system. And in return, I believe the compensation they were to receive was that they would not have any seepage taken out. That is, the water they were promised for delivery would receive that whole amount rather than getting a prorated amount that would take into account seepage that might be lost back into the ground through the ditch. There was, at some later point, the district decided to enter into a piping project to conserve water. Certainly we have no problem with that. But the portion of the ditch that runs through the Cyrus's property is actually part of a golf course. And the ditch being open is an essential feature of the golf course, so they obviously objected to piping that portion. It's my understanding that the two sides have settled some of these issues. And my understanding is the agreement that's been reached is that the district will pipe up to the golf course, then the ditch will be open through the golf course, and the piping will resume on the other side of the golf course. However, I understand that the litigation is still pending. The judge is still going to render an opinion, though, on the extent to which the Cyruses do own the ditch. And see, that would be very key to this piece of legislation, because this, if were this to become enacted, it would be clear that the Cyruses would not have a claim to ownership of the ditch if the district chose to condemn it. And we would simply ask that the committee await the judge's opinion to see, first of all, whether or not there will be a problem with this bill. Secondly, if there would be some sort of a conflict, perhaps we could entertain some amendments, or the committee could entertain amendments that would resolve that problem to everybody's satisfaction.
Representative Lee.
Thank you. Mr. Harper, if this statute isn't effective until it's adopted, isn't it already a moot point? Because it won't affect your client.
Well, I would have to respectfully disagree, Representative Lee. Depending on the outcome of the suit, one or more of the parties might decide to appeal, in which case we'd have a whole other animal on our hands, and again, we'd have to revisit the idea of where we go, because this law could very well take effect while this case is still pending.
Oh, I was assuming that the court would look at the facts in place at the time of the action, but maybe Mr. Ganong might respond to that as well.
I'd be more than happy to listen to Mr. Ganong's thoughts on it. He's obviously very learned in terms of water law.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions of Mr. Harper? Christina, could we ask you two to come back up and respond a little bit here? The committee is certainly interested in the issue, and we're interested in trying to have fairness on this for everybody involved. So
you've heard the comments, I think, that were made, and could we ask for your responses to them, and especially to Representative Lee's questions?
Chair Jensen, this is Bill Ganong again. I don't represent Squaw Valley or Squaw Creek Irrigation District, and I don't have a lot of familiarity with this case, other than I've read Mr. Cyrus's letter, which does a good job of laying out what's transpired in that case, at least from his perspective. And both from the letter and from the comments that were just made, it appears that the process in that case, first of all, let me say, we understood there had already been a mediated settlement dealing with this particular ditch. But putting that aside, it appears from Mr. Cyrus's letter and the comments that were just made, there may be a condemnation proceeding pending. And in a condemnation proceeding, the irrigation district in this case must demonstrate that it's necessary for the district to obtain control of the canal, either through ownership or ownership of the canal and an easement over the land to operate and maintain it. And it must pay fair and adequate consideration for that, full value for that right. To the extent this canal is servicing a golf course and may be important to the aesthetic value of the golf course, that is an issue that would be considered in arriving at the consideration that would be payable if, in fact, a condemnation took place. It's also an issue that the court would consider in determining whether it was even what right it was the district actually needs to have. So the court could look at that and say the district needs the right to operate and maintain the canal. They don't need a pipeline or they don't need whatever else it's asked for. So those are issues of fact that would be addressed in that condemnation action and which would be part of the consideration payable. The changes we're requesting are prospective. They're not retroactive. The court's going to look at the law as it existed at the time the resolution to condemn was made. The court's going to look at the law, the values that's being taken. So it's my opinion these changes do not affect that case. And if they somehow do affect that case, that's part of the equation in considering value. I hope that addressed or answered Representative Lee's question.
I think it did. Any other questions of anything? I am currently right now on a hold. We'll stand at ease for just a second. I'm waiting for Legislative Council to come down. If you'd hang on for a minute, we'll be right back with you. Thank you.